Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you, wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So, imagine for a second that you have two identical architectural blueprints.
Okay, like the exact same paper.
Yeah, exactly. You hand the first one to a builder, and they construct this brilliant, sturdy, towering skyscraper.
Right.
But then you hand the exact same blueprint to another builder, and they construct a house that just immediately starts sagging. You know, roof caves in, the foundation completely crumbles. I mean, it's the exact same instruction manual.
Well, the manual hasn't changed a bit, right? The interpretation of those instructions, the way the builder actually reads and physically interacts with the paper, has completely shifted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that is a perfect representation of one of the most persistent mysteries about what happens inside our own bodies as we get older.
Because we all know the visible signs. You look in the mirror over the decades and you see it happening. Our skin loses its elasticity, it loses that balance, it sags.
Right, it's highly visible.
But if you were to zoom all the way down to the microscopic level, the DNA inside a skin cell of a 75-year-old is practically the same DNA blueprint that was there when they were 10 years old.
It's exactly the same code. Yet for some reason, those older cells respond to the exact same environment entirely differently.
Which is wild.
It really is. That functional decline is a massive puzzle in biology. I mean, researchers have known for a long time that older cells act differently. You know, they're more sluggish, less responsive.
Yeah.
But figuring out the molecular mechanism, the exact gatekeeper causing this shift, has been incredibly difficult.
It's as if older cells just go deaf to their surroundings. What really happens when our cells stop integrating the physical tension and the chemical signals around them? And how could understanding this invisible cellular deafness actually change the way we approach aging itself?
Well, we are tackling those fundamental mechanisms today by looking at a major leap forward in how we understand the architecture of the nucleus itself.
Today, we celebrate the work of Yawen Liao, G.V. Shivashankar, and their team across the Paul Scherrer Institute, ETH Zurich, the Broad Institute, and MIT, who have advanced our understanding of how cellular aging reprograms mechanical and biochemical signaling.
Yes, we'll be doing a deep dive based on their fascinating open access research article titled Chromatin Accessibility Regulates Age-Dependent Nuclear Mechanotransduction, published in the journal PNAS on March 26, 2026.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to really grasp what this research team discovered, we have to start by understanding the environment our cells actually live in.
Right, they don't just exist in a vacuum.
Yeah, I think we often picture cells just floating around in a liquid void, kind of doing their own thing in isolation. But that's not reality at all, is it? They are constantly bombarded by different cues.
Not at all. Cells are deeply anchored into their environment. They are constantly integrating vast amounts of information just to survive and do their jobs.
Okay.
And broadly speaking, there are two main categories of signals they rely on. First, you have biochemical signals.
Like chemicals in the blood.
Exactly. These are the chemical messengers, things like hormones, growth factors, or cytokines that float around in the fluid outside the cell, bind to receptors, and basically tell the cell what to do.
So that's the chemical side. What's the second type?
The second type is mechanical. And this one is often overlooked, but it's absolutely critical. Cells literally feel physical tension from their surroundings.
Like actual pulling.
Yeah, they exist in a three-dimensional web called the extracellular matrix, which is essentially a scaffolding made of structural proteins like collagen. The cells pull on the scaffolding and they sense the resistance. They know how stiff or relaxed their environment is based purely on physical force.
Oh, I see. You can think of a cell a bit like a smartphone trying to connect to a network.
Yeah.
The biochemical signals, and in this deep dive, we're looking specifically at a really important tissue healing chemical called TGF-beta, are like a Wi-Fi signal. It's broadcasting instructions through the air, telling the cell to heal, to build, to organize. And then the mechanical tension, that physical pulling on the cellular scaffolding, is like the physical antenna on the phone.
That's a great analogy. Both the Wi-Fi and the antenna are required to get a clear message. Now, in human biology, there is vast cell-to-cell heterogeneity. Even if you look at identical cells right next to each other, they might act slightly differently.
Sure.
But as we age, this variability gets much, much worse. The fundamental problem the researchers wanted to solve is that in an older cell, even if the chemical Wi-Fi is broadcasting at full strength, and even if the mechanical antenna is picking up tension, the cell fails to respond correctly.
So if the Wi-Fi is strong and the antenna is up, Why is the old cell failing to download the right app? What is broken inside the phone?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the researchers hypothesize that the problem isn't the signal arriving at the cell, but rather the physical filter deeply inside the nucleus that processes that signal. They pointed their magnifying glass at the three-dimensional organization of chromatin.
Chromatin. Just so I'm completely clear on this, chromatin is essentially the packaging system for our DNA, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because you have, what, about 2 meters of DNA string crammed into a microscopic cell nucleus. It can't just be shoved in there randomly like a tangled ball of yarn. It has to be spooled and folded in a highly specific 3D architecture.
And that folding is highly dynamic. It changes. If a specific gene is buried deep inside a tight, dense fold of that chromatin, it's physically inaccessible to the cell's machinery. It's turned off.
But if it unspools?
Right. If the chromatin unspools and opens up in that specific spot, the gene becomes accessible and can be turned on. So the research team hypothesized that this 3D chromatin folding acts as the ultimate master gatekeeper.
Wow.
Yeah, if the physical folding of the DNA changes as we age, the way the cell filters incoming signals will completely change along with it.
To actually test this, the researchers had to get incredibly creative. I mean, they couldn't just drop some cells onto a flat, hard glass petri dish, pour some chemicals on them, and expect them to act normally. Our bodies aren't made of flat glass.
No, definitely not. A flat, rigid surface completely skews how a cell feels mechanical tension. It's an artificial environment. To see how these cells truly integrate physical force, they had to put them in realistic physical environments.
So what do they use?
They utilized 3D collagen matrices. They harvested human dermal fibroblasts, which are the primary skin cells responsible for building that structural scaffolding, from two extreme age groups. One group came from a 10-year-old and the other came from a 75-year-old.
So they took these skin cells and embedded them inside tiny 3D pucks of collagen jelly. But here is the part of the methodology that I found brilliant. To simulate that mechanical tension, the physical pulling we talked about, they constrained this jelly matrix with a physical glass ring.
Yes.
Wait, so they literally trapped human skin cells in a microscopic jelly ring to stress them out. How does squeezing them change what their genes do?
That's essentially it. When you put living fibroblasts into collagen, their natural instinct is to grab onto the fibers and pull them inward to organize the tissue. If you just leave the jelly puck alone, it will shrink as the cells collectively pull it tighter and tighter.
But the glass ring stops that.
Right. By anchoring a solid glass ring into the gel is physically prevented from shrinking.
So the cells are pulling, but the environment is fighting back. How does that physical squeezing actually reach the genes deep inside the nucleus?
The mechanism is fascinating. The cell has an internal skeleton called the cytoskeleton made of protein cables. These cables are physically tethered to the outer wall of the cell on one end and hooked right into the envelope of the nucleus on the other.
Oh, I see.
So when the cell pulls on that anchored collagen, the resistance creates a mechanical force that travels straight down those internal cables and literally yanks on the nucleus.
That is wild.
Yeah, so now the researchers have young cells and old cells, both experiencing high mechanical tension, pulling against this ring. Once that tension was established, they hit the cells with the biochemical signal TGF-beta.
TGF-beta, we mentioned this earlier as the Wi-Fi signal. In the body, this is a master regulator for tissue healing and building structure.
Mm.
Like, if you get a cut, TGF-beta is part of the alarm system telling your cells to rebuild the scaffolding.
Exactly. So now the cells in the jelly pucks are receiving both the mechanical tension and the biochemical signal simultaneously. To read the outcome of this experiment, the researchers used two sophisticated tools.
Okay.
The first was bulk RNA sequencing. This technology basically takes a snapshot of the cell to see exactly which genes have been turned on and to what degree.
But just knowing what turned on isn't enough to solve the mystery of the physical filter. You need to see the DNA itself. What was the second tool?
The second tool was ATEC-seq. This is a brilliant technology that maps out the physical landscape of the DNA folding. It sends a specialized enzyme into the nucleus that tries to cut the DNA.
Okay, and if it's folded up?
If a chromatin is folded up tight, the enzyme just bounces off. But if the chromatin has unspooled and is physically open, the enzyme cuts it. By sequencing those cuts, researchers get a high-resolution map of exactly which parts of the genome were physically open and accessible, and which parts were locked tight.
Okay, so the physical trap is set, the chemical signal is sent, and the mapping tools are running. What actually happened?
The readouts from these two techniques were stunningly different between the young and old cells. Let's look at the 10-year-old fibroblasts first.
Right.
When they were placed under just the mechanical tension, they prepped themselves. They turned on some basic pathways related to growth. But when they received both the physical tension and the chemical TGF-beta signal, it was an explosion of activity.
It was a massive synergistic response. The young cells didn't just add the two signals together, they multiplied them. When exposed to both stimuli at the same time, the young cells changed the expression of 2,128 genes.
Yes.
2,128 genes.
The sheer scale of the genetic shift is remarkable. And it wasn't just random noise either. They heavily ramped up genetic pathways completely dedicated to building and organizing the extracellular matrix.
Building the skyscraper.
Exactly. We're talking about a massive upregulation of specific building blocks like collagens and heavy structural proteins like alpha smooth muscle actin that allow the cell to exert even more force. These 10-year-old cells were fully activated, doing exactly what young, healthy skin cells should do to maintain tissue resilience.
But then you look at the 75-year-old cells. They have the exact same DNA instruction manual. They're in the exact same collagen jelly trap. They're receiving the exact same chemical signal. And the response was totally blunted.
Yeah, it was a fraction of the activity. While the young cells altered over 2,000 genes, the 75-year-old cells only altered 391.
Wow.
Furthermore, that synergy we saw in the young cells was completely gone. Adding the mechanical tension did almost nothing to boost their reaction to the chemical signal.
And when I looked at the specific genes those older cells did manage to turn on, they weren't even the right ones for building a strong matrix. They were mostly turning on genes related to basic metabolic stress.
Right.
They weren't building a skyscraper. They were just surviving the day.
The old cells heard the signal, but they integrated it completely differently. So to find out why this happened, the researchers turned to the ATAC-seq data, that map of the physical DNA folding.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Think of chromatin, not just as a folded string, but maybe like an exclusive nightclub with a dynamic bouncer.
Okay.
When tension and TGF-beta show up together at a young cell, the bouncer throws the doors wide open for the VIPs to go in and build collagen. But in old cells, the doors are just stuck.
I like that analogy. The physical mapping data proved exactly that. The specific DNA regions that physically opened up in response to the signal, the doors to the nightclub, were completely different based on the age of the cell. The structure of the nucleus had fundamentally changed. Mm-hmm. But understanding that the doors are stuck leads to the next question. What biological machinery is supposed to be walking through them in the first place?
Right. Who is the VIP trying to get in there to turn those genes on?
Well, by analyzing the specific DNA sequences that were exposed in the open chromatin regions, the researchers searched for a common denominator. And they identified the master regulator controlling this entire process. It's a transcription factor complex known as AP1.
Activator protein 1. I've actually heard this mentioned in other deep dives before. Wait, what makes that specific protein complex so important here?
AP1 is a highly influential complex. Transcription factors are the specialized proteins that actually bind to the DNA and initiate the reading of the genes. The mapping data showed that the binding sites specifically designed for AP1 were the absolute most common sequences found in the chromatin regions that opened up.
Oh, I see.
AP1 is the central hub for processing these signals. But what is truly fascinating here is that AP1 doesn't act alone. It requires partners.
It's a team effort, and the team changes over time.
It does. AP1 pairs up with different transcription factors depending on the age of the cell. The researchers discovered that in young cells, AP1 specifically pairs with a factor called JUND.
Okay, JUND.
When AP1 and JUND partner up, they drive that massive synergistic tissue-building response we saw with the 2,000 active genes. They are the youthful building crew.
But the 75-year-old cells have a different crew. AP1 ditches JUND and partners up with something else entirely.
Yeah, in the older cells, AP1 was found to pair predominantly with a factor called HOXB13. This age-specific partnership completely changes the instructions being read.
So they don't build collagen.
Right. Instead of building strong collagen, the AP1 and HOXB13 partnership leads to that blunted, stress-oriented response. It shifts the cell from building mode into survival mode. This specific swap of proteins dictates the divergent, sagging biological response we see in aging.
It's incredible. The cell is literally rewiring its physical architecture and swapping out the crew that operates within it. So what does this all mean for you? If AP1 is the master switch manipulating this whole chromatin filter, it leads directly to the next logical step.
Can we hack the switch?
Exactly. Could we prove that AP1 is actually the cause of this cellular deafness and not just a bystander?
To prove causality, the researchers designed a rigorous perturbation study. They needed to see what would happen if they deliberately broke the AP1 switch in healthy cells. They used a few different highly targeted methods to do this.
Like what?
First, they used genetic silencing tools, specifically siRNA, to effectively turn off the production of one of the core proteins in the AP1 complex.
So they just removed a piece of the engine?
Yes. They also approached it from another angle using a specialized pharmacological drug called T5224. This drug is designed to physically wedge itself onto the DNA, directly blocking AP1 from binding to its designated spots.
Did they also try stopping the signal before it even reached the nucleus?
They did. They used targeted drugs to block the specific messenger enzymes. Think of them as biological couriers like JNK and ERK that carry the chemical signal from the cell's outer wall down into the nucleus.
And what happened?
The results across all these methods were definitive. When they blocked AP1 directly, or when they intercepted its couriers, they completely paralyzed the fibroblasts. The cells couldn't produce the structural proteins or the collagen, regardless of how much mechanical tension or chemical signal they were exposed to.
Wow.
AP1 isn't just along for the ride. It is the essential driver of this entire filtering process.
When we think about aging, we usually think about it as this inevitable, invisible wear and tear. Like a car engine slowly rusting over decades.
Right.
But this deep dive paints a totally different picture. Aging is an active physical rewiring of how your DNA folds. The cell isn't just running out of gas, it's structurally ignoring the gas pedal because the AP1 switch is pairing with the wrong partners and the nightclub doors are stuck shut.
This raises an important question. If aging is partly driven by this specific structural mechanism, can it be targeted therapeutically? The discovery that the AP1 network acts as this master filter makes it a prime candidate for future therapies in geroscience.
Imagine a treatment that doesn't just put a cosmetic band-aid on aging skin or temporarily lubricate stiff organs, but actually reaches into the cell, modulates that AP1 complex, and tells the chromatin to open those doors again.
Reversing that cellular deafness is a profound concept for promoting genuine tissue rejuvenation. However, we have to be highly realistic about the limitations and the dangers of this research. Modulating AP1 is incredibly complex because it's a master dial for many cellular processes, not just collagen building.
Right, it's a powerful dial, which makes it dangerous if you turn it too far.
Exactly. One of the major hurdles for future research is ensuring that we don't accidentally trigger uncontrolled cell growth. The biological pathways that AP1 regulates overlap significantly with cell proliferation.
Oh.
If you forcefully unlock those chromatin doors and hyperactivate the fibroblasts without perfect precision, you risk inducing fibrosis. Fibrosis is severe, dangerous tissue scarring where the cells just won't stop building matrix.
Because they're stuck in building mode.
Or worse, you could promote cancer by driving cells to divide uncontrollably. Future therapies must find a way to safely and precisely tune AP1 and its specific partners, like swapping HOXB13 back to JUND, to restore a youthful balance without tipping the scale into disease.
It's a delicate tightrope walk, but knowing exactly where the tightrope is and what it's made of changes the whole landscape.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, too, if physical tension is an absolute requirement to keep this genetic machinery young and the DNA book open, could the mechanical force of simple everyday things like deep facial massages or cosmetic microneedling be doing far more at a deep structural genetic level than we ever realized?
That's a great point.
Just the physical tugging on those internal cellular cables might be helping to pull the blueprint open. Something to think about.
It's a fascinating connection between macro-scale physical therapies and microscopic gene regulation.
Cellular aging is not just a loss of chemical signals, but a physical restructuring of the 3D chromatin landscape that filters those signals. By identifying the AP1 complex as the master regulator of this physical filter, researchers have uncovered a crucial target for reversing age-related functional decline. What does this mean for the future of anti-aging therapies and our ability to structurally reprogram older cells?
Yeah, there's so much potential there.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoy this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Make the whole